Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's get to it. The 8 at 8, 8 stories. We call it the Ocho. Here we go.
One.
Number one, the Texans unveiled new uniforms yesterday. Unveiled them on social media at 10 a.m. Some awesome videos dropped throughout the remainder of the morning. Four different uniform, really color concepts. They're going to mix and match a lot of them as well during the season. And then a big party last night to celebrate it that was really, really cool. I would say probably, Seth, with this uniform reveal, probably the biggest undertaking in all this, other than just the last year of work to get these things out there to the market, would be the 200-pound jersey that now sits on the torso of the statue of Sam Houston up on I-45 in Huntsville.
Yeah, if you go past that 200-foot-tall statue, you're also going to see a 200-pound jersey on him. Which, for how long, I don't know.
Till May 7th.
Till when?
May 7th.
Oh, well, that's a while.
Yeah, yeah. You got time
to
go.
Do your damage, birds.
Yep.
Come and take it. That's what I say.
Okay. How much bird crap will be on the Sam Houston jersey?
It's going to weigh 275 pounds.
75 pounds worth of bird crap. Okay.
Yes.
I like that. So that was cool yesterday. The uniforms were flying off the shelves at the team store yesterday. At the party last night, I was told, Larry and Stafford texted me earlier in the show, and I mentioned Tank Dell and the jersey, and Larry confirmed. He's like, yeah, there were no Tank Dell jerseys there. I feel like maybe what they're doing, if they're smart, is they're teasing to the release of the authentic Tank Dell jersey. You know, like maybe like they're just, you know, you hold a few back.
Yeah.
So that now during the dog days of summer, you're like, guess what's coming? Countdown. To
special edition Tank Dell jersey of some sort.
Maybe.
Actually pretty cool. Now that you've got all the different combinations and everything that you can, you could have special edition jerseys for players that people actually give a damn about. compared to having them crammed down your throat.
Dude,
3 years ago.
They've got, I mean, this is not the segment to do it because we're bouncing from story to story, but I mean, they've got like a dozen guys who I think would be the most popular jersey in any given season of Texans football, you know?
Landry was saying yesterday that he thought that there's a chance C.J. Stroud could have the number one selling jersey.
Oh, with the new ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's possible. Yeah. I mean, usually, I would imagine Caleb Williams will probably be the number one selling jersey for the months of May, June, and July.
Yeah.
But like for teams that aren't drafting a quarterback right now, I think that CJ might be the highest like non-rookie jersey.
Got a shot. It's a good prediction.
Two.
The number three trending story on the Houston Chronicle right now. Hannah McNair rips Titans, talks about compromise on blue uniforms. I love that it's Hannah that's in the headline. And if you listen to the cuts, we're going to play one of them right here. It's like half Cal and half Hannah in a lot of them, you know what I mean? But Hannah's always the one who's making the headlines here.
Yeah, it's justifiably Hannah.
Yeah.
It's not like people are trying to play up a catfight thing or anything. Hannah's the one talking smack.
Right, yeah. And I don't think she's angry about it or anything.
She said what she said.
But here's Hannah McNair, if you missed it, yesterday on In the Loop with John and Landry, really good interview. Here is Hannah McNair throwing some shade at the Tennessee Titans.
Are you ready to play the Titans again? I know you kind of enjoyed that sweep last year. You got that marked on the calendar? Is that
you know what's so funny is I was seeing some articles about Hannah salty about them wearing the uniforms. Who started that? Who exactly. started it wearing it against us? And then if anybody was at that game, their in-house PA mm-hmm. was instigating it. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable, but mm-hmm. also wonderful because we finished the story. Okay?
She went
I mean, who's salty here? You know, rivalry is good here. For the league.
It's here, right?
Yeah, it's good for the league.
And are the Titans are the top rival? It seems like it kind of moves. Right now, is that our top rival?
Well, first they need to beat us.
Oh, so it's wow. not a rivalry yet. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So we got to go.
That's
we
how
go.
You do it.
So
right
Colts. Okay, Colts. There you go. Look at Cal.
Cal's like, here's the hot sauce.
Here she goes again. Here she goes again.
I want to beat all our AFC South friends and neighbors.
Yes. Yeah.
Twice, each one of them.
Cal trying to tamp it back a little bit. Hannah's like, they got to beat us. Hannah 316 says, you got to beat us first, all right?
The one thing I would say is Landry posted a video of Hannah saying that, and the captions is probably auto captions,
yeah.
but I feel like it was it transcribed it like this. As Hannah's saying is, what's so funny is I seen some articles about them wearing it. Like,
come on.
It does. Come on.
Give her some proper
syntax. Come
on,
auto captions. You're making Hannah sound like she doesn't speak proper
Can
English.
Can we just set the default switch at conjugating verbs correctly, okay?
Yeah. When are they going to do an auto caption where at the very least they give people the benefit of the doubt? Like, okay, well.
Syntax.
It was because she said I was seeing these articles. They took it as I seen these articles. Yeah. Could you just put it, assume that it was the proper grammar?
Step your game up, yeah.
Three.
The Cubs beat the Astros last night. We had a texter earlier like, hey, Cubs fan here. I'm getting in my car. When are you guys going to talk about the Astros? I didn't reply, but I felt like going for 2 minutes at 8:07, and that's it.
We're going to talk about Cody Bellinger looking like he was high on something in the outfield as he couldn't feel like, oh, no, the wind.
Yeah.
Nobody else was having trouble with the wind the way Cody Bellinger was. That was my one takeaway. From that, ignore his home run or anything else that the rest of the Cubs did. Cody Bellinger looked like a hapless fool out there at center field.
This is bad, dude. This is they lose 7-2 to the Cubs last night, and once again, another team just climbs all over one of the Astros' starting pitchers in the first inning here. Five runs.
JP France wasn't getting any help from the umpire whatsoever. He was kind of PO'd about that, but like. J.P. France is also past the point of getting the benefit of the doubt. You know? It's also, just because you're not getting the calls doesn't mean you have to throw dead center of the strike zone.
Right.
Okay? It's just
J.P. France,
a slider.
J.P. France is at the far bad end of the spectrum for me of pitchers who I can't even just bring myself to look at when they pitch poorly because of the glasses and the mustache and kind of the pear-shaped physique. I'm like, yeah. Come on, nerd. Put the ball over the plate.
He doesn't have a pear-shaped physique, though. He's just got big legs. He's got
when he's like, pitching he's like that, he's got a pear-shaped physique.
Yeah. Okay, good point. Good
right?
point.
Right? Like when they're good, they're eccentric. When they're bad, they're weird, you know? Like, So that's Astros lose. They're back at it. Spencer Arrighetti will be the answer to all our prayers tonight.
Four.
Quick one here. NBA playoff scores, in case you are wondering, in case you're just getting into your car, probably the one of most intrigue to people here in Houston would be the Mavericks and the Clippers. Clippers lose to the Mavs last night, late last night, 96-93. So that series is tied at one. The Bucks and the Pacers tied at one. The Pacers beat the Bucks. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we might be living in a world where the Minnesota Timberwolves win an NBA championship. That'll be wild. They beat the Suns by double digits again, 105-93. So they are up 2-0 in their playoff series.
Five.
Caitlin Clark is very wealthy. She was probably already very wealthy thanks to NIL, but now she's off the charts. She's getting a $28 million contract from Nike. It's spread out over 8 years. This for her, obviously she's moved on to the WNBA. She's been drafted by the Indiana Fever. This was a pretty, you know, if you read some of the articles about it, Seth, this was a pretty heated bidding war to land Caitlin Clark's spokesperson skills for shoes. Nike ends up winning it, but Under Armour was in on it, Adidas was in on it, and reportedly, according to Darren Revelle, who I think was pulling from a Wall Street Journal article, but I saw it on Revelle's timeline, is that there were a lot of the shoe execs who were really wanting her to stay in school for another year because they feel like Caitlin Clark has a bigger platform an allure playing college basketball than she does playing in a league that's had a hard time drawing flies, you know?
Yeah, I really wonder how much more common that's going to be over time, and as the NIL markets really start to develop, and now that teams, I feel like a lot of the apparel companies have probably been trying to be kind of careful about not stepping on too many toes or what have you, but man, you just think about CJ Stroud. If CJ Stroud had stayed at Ohio State for an extra year, what are sneaker companies starting to think of? Football might not be the best example. You know, some of the basketball players for sure.
Yeah.
Like if you're playing at Kentucky versus, you know, being a mid first round pick elsewhere to an NBA team, you might have some more pull playing at Kentucky or Duke in a lot of respects, and be worth more to, like, in building an audience for that sneaker company than if you go pro immediately.
I always wonder with schools too, and I'm sure there's an answer to this question that I haven't gone and sought out yet. But these schools all have contracts with these shoe companies, you know, like Nike school. So-and-so's I know Notre Dame is an Under Armour school. That's, you know,
because Oregon. I mean, ultimate Nike school.
They're basically run by Nike, but I do like all these Power Five schools all have a shoe contract with somebody. So where does that come in? If I'm a player, can I wear my Adidas shoes, you know, for this Nike school? You know, I don't know. I don't know, but it's...
Oregon in general, just with how affiliated Nike is with them.
Dude.
If Nike ever decided to just start buying national championships, basically.
Oh.
Like, they're the rich alum that's just handing out millions of dollars to the star athletes.
No doubt.
Six.
All right, let's get to some NFL stuff here. The Raiders reportedly tried to move up and get the second overall pick in the draft. We had heard rumors that, hey, you know who Jaden Daniels would really like to play for? The Raiders. There's only one problem. They're picking 13th.
What's Aiden O'Connell have to say about this?
Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew? Hey, man, I signed here with the idea that I could Mike could start here. And Gardner Minshew might if they were to draft a rookie quarterback, and maybe they sit him for a year. But reportedly, the Raiders tried to make a big play up to number two to get Jaden Daniels. That's the thing I'm most anxious to see over the next 24 hours, Seth, is just how open for business are the Commanders and the Patriots at 2 and 3 in this draft.
Yeah, how entrenched are they?
Yeah.
I do feel like Jaden Daniels, there's enough to get genuinely excited about with Jaden Daniels that I don't think Washington ends up moving off of that unless Jaden Daniels really does try to maneuver out of there.
He better get to step in if he's going to try it. The draft's tomorrow.
Right. It would have been already going on.
Yeah.
It's after that where everything, I think, becomes the Wild West, and I don't think that I think there's a lot of teams that aren't overly excited about Drake May and very much think like, okay, well, this back in my day, this guy would have been a second rounder at best.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I wonder how much, if the Patriots are truly open for business at 3, which all the reports are that they are, you know, that they're, and which is no surprise. Nick Caserio said last year on our show they're open for business at 2, and knowing that they, you know, knowing full well they need a quarterback. So that's what they say. But if they are, I wonder where does the Will Anderson trade from last year fit in to, you know, comps, you know, as far as packages to give up, because the Texans were perceived to have overpaid for Will Anderson, but if they'd moved up from 12 to 3 to go get a quarterback, I think people would have just looked at that like, oh yeah, like that's actually a pretty good trade for the Texans. Right?
Yeah, I don't think it factors in at all. Yeah. I think there's a clear dividing line between how much people are willing to pay to move up for a quarterback versus to move up for. So a lot of the value that you have as somebody that owns a second or third or fourth pick, it really does depend on how many really good quarterback prospects are there in the draft.
Yep.
And that's, I know, yeah, it's like somebody's in the position right now of trying to convince the Patriots that they want to move up to number 3 because they really, really want a quarterback. But at the same time, be like, well, yeah, but it's just Drake May. He's not worth that much. So, I really, really want to get up there, but not that much.
It's a tricky balancing act.
Yeah.
It's a tricky balancing act.
Just real quick, Sean.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I can't get past with Drake May is, like, I'm looking at four pictures of him right now. He is like, dude. Every single picture I see is like, you're the worst version of Jason Bateman. It's like whatever, like dude, Jason Bateman at his ugliest on Silver Spoons or something. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. I cannot have this Jason, this juvenile Jason Bateman looking dude
that
on
face,
my football team.
That face, it is a punchable face, no doubt.
Seven.
That's the draft analysis you get that you're looking for, people. Punchable faces, Payne and Pendergast. That's what we give you. The NFL says it is still reviewing potential tampering by the Falcons and the Eagles, and it will not conclude this week. So any effect on draft capital, Seth, will probably come in 2025 for either of these teams. That's probably really good news for the Falcons, who were picking eighth in the draft this year.
Yeah.
That they didn't come up with a quick decision on this. But it sounds like the Falcons might get hit pretty good on this one with Kirk Cousins. We'll see.
Like a first-round pick?
Maybe. I mean, the Dolphins got hit with a first-round pick for tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton. I mean, that was Brady and Payton, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Do you recall how much did the Patriots get dinged for hiring Bill Belichick back in the day?
Good question. I'll look that up. That they had to trade. They had to give the Jets is for compensation.
Yeah, they were forced to. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, that's one where they actually the compensation went directly to the Jets.
Yeah.
Instead of just them being losing a pick
punished.
Or what have you.
Yeah.
Which I still feel like if the Texans were in on Saquon Barkley and they lost out to a tampering Philadelphia Eagles, I feel like the Texans should get that pick, whatever the punishment is.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Eight.
Last one, Jerry Jones is staying patient with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons extensions. Man, it is a tricky time to be a Cowboys fan. Jerry Jones stood firm on his all-in motto this offseason during a press conference on Tuesday. Part of the frustration surrounding the lack of action from Cowboy fans isn't just the lack of free agent signings. It's the three big extensions the club has planned still haven't happened yet. You know, so Dak Prescott, who it looks like they may just let go to free agency after next season. That may happen. They haven't done anything yet with his deal. But more so, wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, who's entering his fifth-year option year, and then Micah Parsons, who's been arguably the best defensive player in football since coming into the league. They're all waiting for contract extensions, and at this point, Jerry's kind of letting it play out. We'd like to see more leaves fall, he said. We'd like to see more action. It's called option quarterback. I've spent my life playing option quarterback. I want to see more cards played, end quote. What the hell are you talking about?
So Jerry's the option quarterback?
Somebody take the wheel up there, please.
So he feels like he's sitting there like at the mesh.
Yeah.
He's got the ball in the running back's belly.
Yep, yep.
And he's just trying to read the situation, whether to hand it off, whether to pull it back and either run or pass.
That's right.
He's playing option quarterback.
That's what he's doing, yeah. And while playing option quarterback, evidently playing a game of cards of some sort. I want to see more cards played. Evidently, he's playing blackjack and option quarterback at the same time. Ay, ay, ay. All right, that's the 888. Let's get to John Harris, Texan sideline reporter, draft expert, footballtakeover.com, all kinds of great stuff there as well as on the Texans website, and he's going to join us to talk NFL draft. What's he feeling right now on the Texans on day two, a night where he and Seth Payne and Mark Vandermeer will have you covered for the draft here on Sports Radio 610. John Harris joins us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It is that time of year. It is the NFL draft. We are a little over 24 hours away. Of course, we've got you covered all week long, all weekend long, here on the draft on Sports Radio 610. No first-round pick for the Texans as of right now, but we've got you covered for the first round of the draft. And joining us right now, this guy is going to be on all 3 days of coverage for the NFL draft, because that's just what he does. This is Christmas time for Johnny Harris, or tax season, maybe, as it were. I don't know, Johnny, you tell us, is this something you, if it's a labor, it's a labor of love for you, is it not, John Harris?
You know, it's interesting. It is more like Christmas, Johnny, in the sense that the actual Christmas day, once the work is all done, because there's so much work to get, like, to get to Christmas Day, like, go to the grocery store and, you know, get cooking and all that kind of stuff. But then Christmas Day, it's like, okay, let's unwrap the presents, let's have fun. It's more like Christmas Day. Okay. Tax season sucks, so I don't even.
Okay, yeah, I figured. As soon as I said that, I'm like, oh, Johnny, he's giving accountant flashbacks right now. Yeah.
It's exactly what it gives me. Even though I never touch the tax side of things, and people that are accountants understand it, everybody thinks accountants like, hey, all you do is tax. Like, I never touched tax. That wasn't my expertise. But the people that do, oh, man, God bless them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's more like Christmas just because all the work's in, and it's kind of a weird feeling the last couple of days. Thank God we had that uniform reveal, because it's kind of taken some of my time up, you know, trying to get ready. And then today it's just, I've got interviews across the board and all access tonight. So it's keeping me busy until tomorrow. And then tomorrow I'll watch Draft Day in the morning, because that's just my draft. Like, that's
the
my
movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That's your Braveheart. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my Braveheart. That's exactly right. So I'll watch Draft Day in all of its glory. I wonder why Nick Caserio has not traded 3 first rounders to move up to number 1.
And draft a linebacker.
Yeah, and then draft a linebacker. Vontae Mack, no matter what.
Yep, yep.
Off-ball linebacker, to be clear.
Not even an edge rusher.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could make him an edge rusher, kind of like the Cowboys did with Micah Parsons, but...
Wasn't he like 210 pounds?
I don't know, man. Chadwick Boseman was not a big guy, but then they tried to put him in those... They tried to put him in those Andre Ware-like shoulder pads. Like, if you ever seen Andre, we always joke with him about it. Like, if you ever seen pictures of Andre back in 89... Mark calls them, like, they look like shelves on his shoulders.
Yeah.
They tried to put those shoulder pads on Chadwick Boseman to, like, beef him up to 230, and he's still, like, 180. So the reason I watched it was back in 2014. I was doing my first draft show for the Texans. They were drafting that night, Jadeveon Clowney. I was pumped, and I was so, like, man, I was, like, antsy. Didn't start till 7 that night. I didn't know what to do. And I was like, you know what? And I drove to the movie theater, and I paid like $4 for the matinee, and I just sat in a movie theater, popcorn, and watched Draft Day. I was like, okay, I'm good. And like, took up my time and was able to kind of relax, and then did the show. So I've done that every year on Draft Day. I'll watch Draft Day tomorrow to kind of keep up the tradition.
Love it. Love it.
So, John, obviously the Texans, as of right now, don't have a first-round pick, and you know, we all speculate about who they might take in the second round. I'm curious... Not about an individual prospect, maybe, per se, at defensive tackle, but if you look at the defensive tackles this year, there are a whole boatload of guys that could go in the second or third round who are, like, really athletic but undersized.
Yep.
And then there's Tavondre Sweat, who's in a different category. Like, he's a different creature than, like, everybody else. So we'll leave Tavondre Sweat. But then... On the types of defensive tackles that look like Eric Armstead. So if the Texans had tried to trade with Eric Armstead is like 6'7", 295. DeForest Buckner was a defensive tackle with the 49ers, who's 6'7", like 300 pounds. A tall, lanky dude. There's really only 2 guys in the top 4 rounds that are like that. One is Mason Smith out of LSU. The other is Gabe Hall out of Baylor. Do you think D'Amico is more inclined to take one of the smaller athletic guys or one of the big, lankier Eric Armstead looking guys?
Well, that's a great question. The thing about it is both Armstead and Buckner were drafted before D'Amico took over, I think, even before he started coaching. So hard to kind of say that, you know, that's the kind of guy that he would fall in love with.
If you think I'm kind of basing this on like the trading for Armstead
Well, I think there's, you know, from that standpoint, you know, trading for Armstead, I think there's a lot you were going to get with Armstead. I mean, I think first of all, experience in this defense, just knowing how to play in this defense, that's something that D'Amico has talked a lot about. You know, hey, these guys, you know, he was asked about the defensive tackles last year. He's like, you know, it took them a second to kind of get used to playing in this defense. And then once they got the hang of it, then it started clicking. I think there's value in all those guys. I mean, in kind of all of it, to be honest with you, Seth. I think because they've added Fatu Kasi, they've added Settle, you know, those guys aren't, you know, they're not going to be Sheldon Rankins, Malik Collins, but I think they're steady, consistent performers, and they're going to give you, you know, a B-plus effort all the time. They're just probably not going to make some of those splash plays that some of the guys in this draft can. Let's start with the two kind of longer guys. Mason Smith from LSU has got a higher ceiling, but Gabe Hall is a better player right now. He is a freakazoid. I saw him do some things, shock shed, just get rid of blocks at the Senior Bowl. I'm like, wow. Like, he took some of these guards and just threw them to the side like they were third graders. It was kind of impressive to watch. And his run-stuffing ability is more kind of plays from the backside. Like, the plays he made from the backside at Baylor were incredible. And I can see a lot of value in him. Mason Smith's got a higher ceiling. He's got 35-inch arms. I mean, God, you look at him and go, holy cow, he looks the part. But he tore his ACL in 22, and it didn't look like in 23 he had all of his juice back. I think by the time you get to 2024, he'll have that back. But there's that question of, you know, do you draft a guy, again, with an injury history? And I know it's an ACL versus soft tissue stuff, but do you do that?
It was an ACL that he got just jumping up in celebration.
Yeah.
Florida State. That's right.
Week one.
Well, because he's kind of gangly. Like, I worry a little bit that, all right, is he athletic enough to handle his height, you know?
Right. And I don't think he's gotten there yet, Seth. I think that's the biggest thing. He's not grown into that yet. He still plays tall. You don't see a ton of pass rush. You know, he's not like Gabe Hall. Like, when he went to one-on-one pass rush at the Senior Bowl, you could tell he had like two or three pet moves, and he threw them and won with every one of them. Like, Mason Smith's just still trying to plow through guys. So I worry about that a little bit. But, man, the quick dudes, Mike Hall from Ohio State, and you know, throw Leonard Taylor in there. I don't think Leonard Taylor's getting enough love. You know, I kind of soured on him at the end of the year, but I went back and watched him after I got back from the Senior Bowl, because I was thinking about defensive tackle for the Texans. And I watched him against Florida State, and in a couple of games, I was like, man, this dude can move. I like this guy. And there are people thinking he's going in the fourth round. I have him kind of in the mid-80s because I think he's a really good player. And I don't think he's incredibly productive. He's not going to be Aaron Donald or anybody like that, but I do think he's going to be very, very disruptive, incredibly strong. I would like him. They're just those types in this draft, Chris Jenkins, Ruka Rororo, there are all kinds of them that you can find that are kind of 6'2", 6'3", 295. The one that I want is the one you guys talked about, and that's Braden Fisk. And I'm making sure I say it right. I apologize to both of you because I heard TV kept calling him Fisky, 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 and then I heard an interview with him at Western Michigan. They said Fisk. So I'm going with Fisk until otherwise noticed. But I think Fisk probably fits better than anyone what they want to do. He's got short arms, but I'm not going to worry about that too much because he plays so hard, and he's so strong and quick. And he knows how to use whatever length he's got. So I would love for him to be at 42. That's the easy pick for me. I just don't know that he's going to be that guy. But I think there are options. Even if they don't do it at 42, think about it at 59. I think a lot of those guys will still be there at 59. If there might be one off the board. Fisk, I think, is definitely off the board at 59. But I think the rest of them are going to be there, and I think that's probably the sweeter spot for defensive tackle. I think 42 is a sweeter spot for corner.
Or at least close enough to where Nick can do what he does and duke him a fifth-round pick to move up three spots, later six spots like he did last year. John Harris joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Okay, so Johnny, the position group that's been the talk of this draft class, other than quarterback, has been wide receiver and how deep this wide receiver group is. You've talked about it when you've come on with us before. And we've talked about the Texans with that draft capital, this couple second-round picks, third-round pick, even when they were in the first round at 23, that they could be looking wide receiver here. How does the Stephon Diggs trade, in your mind, affect how the Texans look at the day-two type wide receivers?
What's interesting is I don't think it's the trade for Diggs. I think it's lopping off the 3 years of the contract of Diggs, because you know you have 1 year with Diggs. As it sits right now, you know you have 1 year with Diggs. You know you have 1 year with Nico Collins. And you've got a wide receiver draft class that's as good as any maybe in the last 25 years, maybe in the history of the game. I mean, it's an incredible draft class, very diverse, so many different options in the wide receiver realm in this class. So you balance all three of those things. I don't know that wide receiver changes in priority all that much. I think that the Texans, let's say the Diggs trade is not made, I think wide receiver is probably a day two priority at that point. And I do think in day two, there's so many different options, and we've gone through them all. But I think it's those things. The fact that at the end of 2024, you could be without both Diggs and Nico. And now, all of a sudden, holy cow. Now, look, the drafts at receiver are going to stay solid. You're still going to be able to find an option at wide receiver going forward. That there's no doubt in my mind about that. I mean, I'm already looking at the class ahead, and you just see the trend of college football. College football, you play 3-4 wide receivers all the time. So good defensive backs move to wide receiver. Mikey Sanders, still from Michigan, is the only one that's gone the opposite wide receiver to DB. But you're just going to have deep wide receiver class, so I don't panic too much. But this is a class in which I feel like I can get a first, second-round talent maybe on, you know, mid to late day two because of what this class is all about. So I think that 59 could be in play. I still think 42, just based on what they have at corner, that just, to me, I'm not as sure about that. And kind of fitting where the value of the positions are and what the needs of the Texans are at that point. And I know best player available. Like, I get all that. I understand. Like, look, if Ladd McConkey's there at 42, I'm running the card up. I'm going to get Ladd McConkey. Adonai Mitchell, I'm probably doing that as well for those two guys. Keon Coleman, I might think about it. I don't know. But those two, I'm running the card up. I'm going to get my receiver because I know I've got those guys for 4 years. And I know those guys are going to fit with whatever I've got at wide receiver this year and going forward, depending on, and maybe that drives the decision of Diggs and Nico going forward as well. I want those guys to come back. But I also know I want a receiver from this class because it's that deep. So I don't think the priority changes too much. I do think they'll think about it day two of 59 or 86.
John, if you look at the quarterbacks, I mean, there seems to be consensus. Okay, Caleb Williams at the top. I think more people than not like Jaden Daniels more than Drake May, but let's call those two the second tier. And then you get down into the J.J. McCarthy's, Michael Penix, Bo Nix. Which of those quarterbacks that aren't Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels has like a perhaps sizable segment of NFL people that actually like one of the lesser guys a lot more? Does that make sense? Like there's an undercurrent of like, man, so there's some people out there that really, really love J.J. McCarthy or something like that.
Yeah, it feels that's the way, Seth. I mean, that's how I was going to answer it. I mean, I think McCarthy is the one that really kind of has people intrigued because they see athleticism, obviously leadership. You know, those are the only intangible things. I think he throws the ball better than people think. And, you know, it's so funny because it feels like draft season becomes, especially in the college world, you look at, I don't know how many times I've seen, you know, something said about J.J. McCarthy, and the people at Washington lose their absolute bleep. You know, the people at Oregon are just like scoffing at it. It's like you can't say something good about one of the quarterbacks. You know, without taking heat from the other. It's like, come on, man. Yeah, look, Michigan's offense was not based, was not quarterback, you know, centric, especially this past year. I mean, it was about grinding teams into submission. They had a Joe Moore award-winning line with dudes. Every single starter went to the combine on the offensive line. Their receivers, you know, were good, but they just didn't, that wasn't what they used. But in clutch moments this past year especially, J.J. McCarthy threw the ball extremely well. He makes that play in a national championship game to Colston Loveland down the seam, and it changed the whole game as Washington was trying to get back in it and had to punt in the fourth quarter, and he makes that throw to Loveland. He made throws in the TCU game the year before I mean, dimes down the field, and it got him back in the game. Now, he also threw a couple picks that ended up going the other way that could have cost Michigan. But I feel like McCarthy is one that NFL teams are intrigued by because they feel like he's got all the assets. Hey, let's just get him a little bit more comfortable throwing the ball, and away we go. Early in this process there, the Giants were thinking about moving up to go get McCarthy. You heard at times the Commanders were thinking about McCarthy. I think McCarthy has a lot of the teams intrigued about what he could do in their offense. And what offense is probably the most prolific around the league, or that we see the most around the league? And that's the say it, Seth, the Kube Shanahan offense.
Yes. Shanahan offense, yeah, yes.
J.J. Yeah. McCarthy can fit that offense well with boots and keepers and movement. And then you throw in, okay, he can move and really run. We can add a couple wrinkles that maybe you wouldn't do with other quarterbacks. Maybe some things you wouldn't even do with C.J. here you could do with McCarthy, mm-hmm. Or would want to do with McCarthy because, you know, he's a guy that runs 4.5, maybe even faster. So I think teams are very intrigued by J.J. McCarthy, and he becomes – kind of that pivotal point in the draft, which team is going to go make the move. Are the Patriots going to take Drake May? And then all of a sudden the Vikings are now, okay, oh my God, we've got to get a guy because Sam Darnold is not our guy.
Yeah.
Or do they wait for Nix and Penix? And boy, that's a game of guts poker trying to wait that out. And I don't even know that with Nix or Penix that you're going to get a guy that right now this year can go step into an offense and lead it the way you want it to. I just think there's too much erratic behavior from both of them to feel good about that. McCarthy, I just feel like you'll get steady. I mean, I think you'll get a 7.5, 8 all the way throughout with little splashes of 9, 9.5. With Nix, Penix, there's a possibility, yeah, you might get 9 one week, but you might get 3.5 the next. Now, it's not kind of a Will Levis thing, but it could be.
John Harris, Texan sideline reporter, footballtakeover.com is his website. Please go check it out. It is really good stuff for this week in particular. And he will be on draft coverage all week long here on Sports Radio 610, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And he will be on the Utopia Football Podcast today as well. So Johnny is making the rounds. Johnny, we appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you in a little while.
All right, love you, boys. Appreciate the listeners, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Love you too, Johnny. Appreciate you. That's the great John Harris joining us here. All right, up next, Callan Hanna in studio yesterday. Asked about Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans working together. If you were wondering kind of whose show it is here, I thought Cal laid it out perfectly yesterday. We will discuss, we will hear that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Top of the hour, I've been kind of gathering questions off the text page today that people have about the new uniforms. Because, I mean, look, there's it seems like there's not enough to go around. They've sold out of some of the C.J. Stroud jerseys, and that's good. It's, you know, it's a popular jersey. They're gonna make more. Don't worry, but... I know there's at least 3 or 4 questions that some people have, so we're going to answer those at the top of the hour and find a way to mix in Hannah McNair talking about the Tennessee Titans, which is all the rage today here on Sports Radio 610 and in the Houston Chronicle, for that matter, Hannah McNair. So we will get to that. So the McNairs were in studio yesterday, and John and Landry did a great job with them, talking about all sorts of things, all things Texans, mostly uniform talk, but they also talked a little bit about the franchise and some of the things that have been going on over the last year or so. Most of it really, really good. Really, all of it really, really good of late. This was a good one here. I think there's still a lot of Texan fans out there that have questions maybe about, okay, how does it work with Nick and D'Amico? You know, Nick comes from a New England background. D'Amico comes from a San Francisco background. I think it's safe to say that the two work together very, very well. But exactly how does it work? Like, who's, like, at the end of the day, you know, who we naming this show after here? Here was Cal McNair on Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans working together.
No, I think they're working really well together. I think that's what we've been kind of conveying to the fans, and continues to be that way. And you saw it through the offseason, and, then Nick's ability to trade for players, you know, even in free agency period, was really smart, I thought. And bringing in the players that D'Amico wants and needs to have his vision of the team, and Nick's totally buying into that. You see them working, you know, together really well, and I'm excited to see the continued growth.
There you go. And this is something Nick has said when he's come on with us, when he's done pre-draft press conferences, that he's basically here to serve. You know, he's here to go shop for the groceries that D'Amico Ryans wants to mold the team in his vision. Cal said it right there. Go get the guys D'Amico wants and D'Amico's vision of the team. It's the D'Amico show.
Right, right. And I think that's, you know, there's still a lot of give and take there in that, that requires D'Amico to trust Nick on his assessment of the players. Because the coaches, look, the coaches come in and they do their evaluations and they put their two cents in, but they haven't spent nearly as much time with the players watching them. I mean, the scouts have been watching these guys for 2, 3, 4 years at times. So a lot of it just comes down to, okay, Caserio really understanding the types of players that D'Amico wants, and then going out and finding the guys that meet those criteria, and then D'Amico trusting Caserio's opinion, you know, as well as putting his two cents in.
Where's the biggest difference in what Caserio is shopping for D'Amico versus what Caserio was brought up in football shopping for in New England?
I think the edge rushers more than anything, because in, you know, New England, in the Belichick era, they rarely had pure pass rushers who were double digit sack guys every year. They were more focused on the back end, and they would pay cornerbacks. They didn't want to pay pass rushers necessarily.
They never would have made the Will Anderson trade, right?
Right. Yeah. They would have done it for a cornerback, maybe, but probably not for a rush end.
Right.
And it wasn't just as simple as, well, they run a 3-4. No, because sometimes they'd be a 4-3, sometimes they'd be a 3-4, but even when they were 3-4, you know, the Mike Vrabels of the world are, you know, those are not defensive player of the year type caliber edge rushers. So I think that's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah. It's working well, man. You nailed it, Seth, last year. Like, before D'Amico got hired, you thought that those two would work really, really well together. I think it's probably even gone better than people envisioned it would be going.
I think there was a little bit of an understandable fear, I guess, that, you know, Caserio would be trying to be like so many other guys who have come out of New England. Sometimes when they try real hard to be Bill Belichick, that's when everything blows up in their faces. I think Caserio's been his own guy. And I think that the one thing where he's really been his own guy compared to what it was like in New England, as you pointed out, was that Caserio has only drafted guys from Power 5 conferences, if you include Tank Dell in that. You know, Tank Dell didn't play for a Power 5 conference at the time, but they are now.
Yeah.
And whereas in New England, they take guys from small schools in early rounds a lot. And Caserio's been way different than that. It seems like he just wants it. So that's one small thing, but he's very much been his own guy. And I think this perception that he was going to try to be like a Belichick that needed to have all the power and all the control, it really wasn't founded on anything other than that he had come from New England. And when he first got here, everything was in shambles.
Yeah, no choice.
Yeah.
He's the only competent guy running things at that point in the football ops side. How about this for a bit of news? According to Pete Thamel of ESPN, the Heisman Trust will be formally reinstating Reggie Bush on Wednesday, today, 14 years after the USC football star gave up his Heisman Trophy due to the major sanctions levied against his alma mater. Reggie Bush, back before NIL, took money from boosters and had his parents in a house, and he took lots of money. And so the Heisman Trust said, well, we're taking your Heisman Trophy away from you. They never took OJ's trophy away for allegedly killing two people. But Reggie Bush taking money. You know who is very happy today, Seth? Johnny Manziel. Remember Johnny getting up on his soapbox on Twitter a couple weeks ago?
Johnny,
saying, I am never coming to the ceremony ever again if you don't reinstate Reggie Bush as a Heisman Trophy winner.
And for him, it was a matter of his own personal values and ethics?
Yeah, there's more. I know the words morals and ethics got thrown around quite a bit. Yeah.
So
this makes sense.
Is it any coincidence that this happened after O.J. was finally
dead? I don't
dead?
Think so, because here's the thing. O.J., when O.J. passed, the Heisman Trust put out one of these like completely tone-deaf posts mourning the passing of O.J. So the Heisman Trust mourns the passing of O.J. Simpson, blah, 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 blah. And I actually retweeted it, and I said, I can't wait to see what happens when the day comes. I don't want that day to come anytime soon, but when Reggie Bush leaves us, will they acknowledge him the same way they acknowledged an alleged murderer? You know, well, now
it won't be an issue. It won't be an issue.
So this makes sense. Good for Reggie Bush. I've met Reggie Bush a couple times. He was almost your teammate back in 2006. Really close.
I don't think he was. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
He was house hunting here in Houston, he said.
Yeah. I don't know how close he was to almost ever being the guy. It seemed like the Texans had made their decision. So it was, people thought it was going to, like the popular thought was that he was going to be a Houston Texan, but the Texans didn't.
He told me at the Super Bowl one year, we interviewed him at the Super Bowl and we asked him about this. He was in Houston when all that news started breaking about Mario Williams becoming the pick here. Like he was looking at houses in Houston when that news all became a thing. So it probably pretty close, I would say.
But why, though? Like, so why was he hunting for houses? Like, what did they let him to believe?
Because they thought they were taking him. I don't know. That's what I read into it. Why else would he be house hunting in Houston, you know?
Like, other than a bad agent? I don't know. It's just...
maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast. So good job, Reggie Bush. You get your Heisman Trophy back. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Okay, so questions. I've been gathering questions off the text page that people have about the new uniforms. So we're going to go through these here. We're going to answer them as best we can about combination of uniforms. Big one about these videos. I'm putting a list of players together who are in these videos right here. There's a name that's missing. I wonder what that's all about. So we'll get into that as well as we head into the 9 o'clock hour. Stay there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.